It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Ian Safar hanging out as well. JoJo, what's going on?
We got sunshine today, man.
On a cloudy day?
I've missed it for a little while, but now we got sunshine, so it's going to be an absolutely beautiful
day. He's confused,
day.
Dr. Crane. Like, the look on Dr. Crane's face right now is, he is so confused.
Well, the gain is normally like 3.5 for him, and it's set at like 12, and it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't. It's a mind brain for me. Don't worry about it.
A what?
Like a brain mess up. I don't know.
A mind brain? That's new.
I was going to say something else, but it's not appropriate.
G-rated. Thank you. Yes. I think it sounds good. I think I sound powerful today.
Here's the thing. If you move that at all, it'll shoot through the roof probably. So there you go.
Thank you.
Just inside baseball here on this Tuesday. So we got a great show planned. Hal Gill going to join us at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the draft lottery. I know the sky is falling, according to Preds fans. You know, got to grin and bear it and take it one day at a time. But we'll be okay. It'll be fine. The sun will come up tomorrow.
Well, I think it's even worse because you're watching all these other teams in the playoffs right now, and these crowds going crazy and these cities enjoying it. And that should be us, and it's not us. So, you know, I live for playoff hockey in May. I don't, you know, the regular season, I'll watch 2%. But during the playoffs, man, I'm all about that. And so it kind of hurts right now.
Yeah, no, I get it. 100%. So the Preds will pick fifth in the NHL draft. They lost the draft lottery, I guess, is what you could say. You're just going to let the music play the whole time?
I didn't know what that was. Like, what is going on here?
I was like, my computer's
on. Do we need
to
reset? Do we just need to kind of start all over?
I thought for sure it was my computer, man.
I wanted to look at Joe. I was like, Joe, is there someone over there?
It's got to be me. It's always
Joe's fault. That is for sure. And also Barry Trotz addressed the media yesterday. Andrew Burnett will return as the head coach. And, I was there. I went to it. And I have a ton of respect for Barry Trotz, as everybody knows. I don't hide that. I think Andrew Burnett, you know, one of the things that Trotz kept saying is Andrew Burnett is a good young coach. I don't think that's a false statement by any means. But it was clear that something didn't work. I mean, the players even said something didn't work. And usually when everybody's saying something didn't work, a big change happens. Well, that's not the case here. And I give Barry Trotz a little bit of leeway because of the respect and what he's earned as a coach and what he's earned in this organization. You know, he gets a little bit of a runway with me. So I'm going to trust that he knows what he's doing. And I'm going to trust that Andrew Burnett, being a good young coach, that he's good enough to overcome what last year was. And, I mean, he's taken a team to the playoffs. He's been a two-time Jack Adams finalist.
God, so, I thought you were going to say something else.
What do you think I was going to say?
Jack blank.
Oh, no.
No, expound on that.
I mean, he has been up for Coach of the Year twice.
Correct.
And so it's not that he doesn't know what he's doing. And look, I love you guys, a lot of you. I mean, it's just the way of the world. I used to be that way, I guess. Maybe I'm still that way sometimes. One little thing goes wrong, and it's like, fire everybody. They don't know what they're doing. They're the dumbest people on the face of the earth. Like, what are we doing? So, I mean, and I get it. You're a fan. Fan is short for fanatic. Like, I understand. But, and I also understand that you're tired of mediocrity in this town, not just with the Preds, not just with the Titans, not just as a sports fan in Nashville, you're tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of it too. I get it. But I am willing to kind of give a little bit of a runway to this. Like, hey, you have forgotten more about hockey than I will ever know when talking about Barry Trotz. But I will say yesterday, I felt that, you know, I didn't believe it. Like, I heard what he was saying, but I just walked away going, okay, all right, I hope you know what you're doing, Trotzy. Like, that's literally how I felt after that press conference. And, you know, I think that he needed to be, like, he should have opened it with, Andrew Burnett is our head coach, period. Like, that should have been the first words out of his mouth, in my opinion.
What did he talk about first?
He talked about – he just went through the whole season and just kind of recapped where things went wrong and then finally got to, you know, it's easy to, you know, make the quick fix, which is firing the coach, and I'm not going to do that, and Andrew Burnett's a good young coach, and he's going to be back. Which is – that's what everybody wanted to hear. Yeah. Everybody was there to hear the fate of the coach. And look, I don't have to understand or completely agree with the decision, but I will respect the decision because of who Barry Trotz is and what Barry Trotz has earned in this organization. I'll trust him that he knows what he's doing. He's won a Stanley Cup as a head coach. I know he's the GM now, and I even asked him about getting involved in coaching, and he gave a pretty good answer. You'll hear that a little bit later. But – He is somebody that can help Andrew Burnett grow as a coach. It's just, can it be done with this team, with these personalities? They have a talented but a big personality in Jonathan Marchessault, who's not going to hold back how he feels. And I like that about him. It's a good player. You know, Steven Stamkos, veteran player, did it under one system pretty much for the whole time. Can they adjust the system? Can Brunette adjust the system enough to be competitive? I don't know the answer to that right now. And that's a scary place to be, especially knowing that you're going to have a top five pick. And you all act like it's the end of the world, that it's the fifth pick in a, you know, once again, it's kind of like the NFL draft. It's not a super strong draft. They're going to get a good player, but then can they develop that player? That's going to be the question. So I think there are more questions than answers right now, but we're just going to have to kind of sit back and go on the ride.
Do they go heavy July 1st in free agency?
I don't know. I think it depends on what happens at the draft. And the reason I say that is they have three first-round picks. They have fifth, and then they basically have, like, late 20s and like, a third, like the end of the first round. But that's still currency. So, you know, hypothetically speaking, they could use those to go acquire a established player that can make this team better. You know, they got to address defense. They got to go get, I think, a top pair defenseman to go with Josi. They don't really have that right now. They got to continue to try and find a top-tier center, which I don't think they're – unless they swing a big trade, I don't think they're going to be able to do that, you know, this year. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be as active as they were last year. But they got the cap space. I mean, they got the room. They could do it if they wanted to. But I think one of the takeaways I had yesterday is he wants to see the young guys improve and give the young players an opportunity.
Fair. Well,
which I don't think is wrong.
No.
I don't think that's wrong at all.
You got to mix them with the old and see how it works, man. That's I tell you, man, it's probably kept this guy up, Barry Trotz up every night for the last 6 months. Like, what the hell happened? How did this go so wrong? But it's over now. Now you look forward to the future. That's all you can do.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was the big news of the day yesterday. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on that, how do you feel about Trotz's comments? I haven't even looked at the text line yet. It's
right.
Sitting here open.
I saw a thing, you know, when Burnett was going to be coach for Team Canada, and people were losing their mind. Like, how can he? And I realized there's a lot of coaches that are still in the playoffs, right? I mean, a lot of NHL, I mean, teams in the playoffs. So getting, you know, part of that team.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of good coaches that are without a job right now.
Yeah,
so they're focused on finding
maybe something they want to do. It so good for him. I mean, it puts a spotlight on the Preds, and so it's a little promotion for them, good publicity, so fine for that. But man, people lost their mind when Brunette got announced for assistant coach for Team Canada. It's like, good Lord.
I know. Well, it's just people aren't going to support him right now. I mean, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
right, and that's really the one that matters. I mean, look, I support him too. I mean, I like Andrew Brunette. I agree with everything Barry Trotz has said, that he is a good young coach. Did I make the case for a change because you got so many long-term contracts and players that are under contract? Yeah, I did. But that doesn't mean that now that the decision's been made, I'm not going to support that. I mean, I just like I said, you know, Barry Trotz gets some runway with me until it's just not there anymore.
Till when?
I think if by Thanksgiving, if this thing isn't looking any better, then that's where I'm going to start questioning a lot of things more and be like, what are you doing? Like, your loyalty is now going to potentially cost you.
What's the third of the season next year?
Yeah, pretty much. But you were on board of bring him back.
Yeah.
And give him another chance.
Absolutely.
And look, we've seen hockey is one of the sports where it could turn around pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You make a couple of moves here and there, and it can bounce right back. And I do feel like this team has the talent that it can do that. I mean, a lot of the fan base is doom and gloom and fire trots and sell the team and Haslam needs to clean house and all that stuff. And it's like, that's fine. But I want to hear from you if by Thanksgiving, you know, they're sitting third in the West and looking pretty good.
It's going to be the most crucial year for this franchise.
100%.
You got Saros, who was terrible, and I think that contract was awful. He's got to get better. If he doesn't get better, you're done. And then you got to find a way to mix the old and the young. I mean, this is going to be interesting to see how this play works out. If it works out, fine, man. It's great. You're making a nice run, which I thought they would do this year, but what do I know? But it's a case study. I'm telling you, man, it's a case study in bringing in high-profile vets to a franchise, a lot of young guys, and working that thing out. And it's going to be, if I'm doing that, I'm like, well, I'm going to sign these high-priced free agents and bring them in. But look what happened in Nashville, man. It didn't work out. And I think it'll be something people look at for a long time.
615-737-1025. A lot of you want to react on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take some of that next. Hal Gill going to join us at the bottom of the hour here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Through this process, have you found that maybe you need to be a little more involved when it comes to coaching and helping Andrew through this process? Or is there a balance where you want to stay out of his way and let him figure it out at the same time?
I think there's a balance. I my job is to manage a team, not coach a team. I hire Andrew to coach the team. But I think leaning on me, I've always said to him, you know, you can always lean on me. And I try to give him the confidence to make any decision that he needed to make. Because it's very difficult when you get coached from above. Because then you lose, you don't have the confidence. I would say if everybody's sitting in this room, if I said your boss is telling you what to write and how to do it, and that would take your confidence away. And that's not what you're hired to do. You're hired to have your own opinions and your own thoughts and all that. So it's very important that there's a balance. I can't go too far. But I can help. I do have a little bit about that part of it, and I think we'll be on a continual talk through the summer and into the winter. But I always believe that the coach has to be himself. He has to be. That's why I hired him. Hired good people. Let them do their job. And that's what I did. I hired Andrew, and he'll do a good job.
That was Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, yesterday at his end-of-year press conference. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're in the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And I asked him that question because, you know, when you have a general manager that has been a head coach for over 20 years, has won a Stanley Cup, I mean, that's obviously a resource that, you know, if I'm in Andrew Brunette's shoes, that I want to use. And I guess I was trying to find, you know, a little bit more insight into how much that is used.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Barry has been very careful with that. I think he's been very good about not, as he said, not coaching from above and not, you know, sitting there trying to tell him what to do, which is good. But at the same time, how much is Andrew using that resource of, hey, you know, like, I got a player that's a little more outspoken and, you know, he's like, how do you deal with that? I mean, you coached Ovechkin. That's a high profile guy. Like, you know, so how much of those conversations are happening? It sounds like, according to Barry Trotz, that they are happening. But that's where I think some of that insight can come in. And look, you know, Andrew Brunette saw it as a player. I mean, he had teammates that probably were a little diva-ish at times. And, you sure. know, how do you deal with it? Because, you know, when you hear somebody say, oh, he's kind of a diva, like, I don't want to throw those guys out because actually I think, you know, they're a good part of your team. It's just how do you manage them? How do you coach them? How do you kind of play to their ego a little bit but also get the most out of them and get them to play team first? You can do it. Barry Trotz is prime example. You know, the story's been told that Alex Ovechkin missed a meeting, so he got scratched. And everybody was like, what are you doing? That's the best player. How do you scratch him? Well, nobody's above the team.
True.
And he got buy-in. You know, Barry Trotz spent all day yesterday talking about buy-in. That was one way he got Alex to buy in.
So what's that, the Jimmy Johnson thing? There are rules and there are exceptions.
Yeah.
Like if Chase McCabe falls asleep in a team meeting, you're in trouble. Troy Aikman falls asleep in a team meeting, he's not in trouble.
Troy, wake up.
Right.
Exactly.
Chase, get your bags. You're done.
Right.
Hit the road. No, I get it. Look, every coach is unique. Let him do his thing. And also, if you're constantly going to your boss, you're a boss. If somebody mm-hmm. keeps coming to you over and over, you're like, man, can you not just do the job?
I tell you that every day. Right. Get out of my office. What do you want?
You tried blocking my number, which didn't work.
No, you just got another one.
I mean, there's a pride thing. Brunette doesn't want to go there every time. Now, if there's a thing, I'm sure they have like weekly meetings, probably talk maybe daily, and to say, hey, what's going on here? What'd you do with this? I mean, you have to use that resource. But at the end of the day, you got to make your own decisions.
Let's go to some texts here. Steve says, fire the scouts. We haven't had a good draft in 10 years. I think they've made quite a few changes with the scouting staff.
Here. All those that won. Kelty, is that a guy?
Well, he's the assistant GM, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shows you
one of them.
All right.
Rebecca says, Chase, Bruno had all year to fix it, and he didn't. That is the issue here. So I will tell you, based on conversations I've had, was that he changed a lot with the system as the year went on. Now, how much of that can be effective as you go throughout the year, I don't know. But I do know that he made some changes based on the players and the play and the feedback. And you're right, it didn't work. But I guess in Barry Trotz's eyes, and look, I'm with you. Like I probably, especially with the coaching pool that was out there, I would have definitely had some conversations and looked around on a change. But Barry ultimately is like, hey, I think he's capable of making even bigger changes in the offseason and, you know, talking with these players, and I'm willing to give him another chance. That's basically what it all boils down to.
How long was the press conference yesterday?
An hour and 5 minutes.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. The opening statement was 30 minutes.
Oh, that's fantastic. I thought you were kidding.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, this text will make you laugh. Chip from Mount Juliet, Trotz talks like Butch Jones, needs wins, plain and simple.
Oh, that's not good at all.
5745, Trotz not listening to his players is a major issue. This thing could continue to get a lot worse than we could all imagine. You have players outwardly talking poorly about the coach, but the brass of this organization continues to think gold shines out of their bleep and won't make any changes.
That's a good point. I can't believe it took that long. My goodness.
Yeah. On the draft pick, Kyle asked, do you think there's a possibility of us trading up? Considering we're never this high in the draft, I have never really followed trades this high up. Considering we have two other first-round picks, I feel like we have some ammo for that. Thanks. I do think it's a possibility, and I believe Trotz was asked about potentially trading the pick or staying put at five. Dr. Crane, if you could find that. I definitely think there's a possibility. I think it's more of a possibility of just using the draft picks as a currency to add to the roster. I definitely think they want to make a selection, but if the guy they want isn't there at five and they can't move up, I think he'll try. Then, yeah, I could possibly see it.
Do you think he'd like to trade Stamkos?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Stamkos, if you watch the year, and I know it's hard to do this because it was a bad year, But if you watch kind of later in the season, it looked like Stamkos finally got settled and got settled in and was playing much better. You know, I think Marchessault was the concern. And again, he kind of got settled in too. It's just Marchessault is a high profile, talented player that you got to coach differently than you would coach Luke Evangelista. And I think that was the thing that Andrew Brunette had to learn is, you know, he's used to coaching players that, you know, are like him or like guys that he played with. And, you know, sometimes when you have more of a personality that's going to be a little more outspoken, it's harder to coach those guys. You know, it just, but that comes with experience. That's where Barry Trotz can help him because he's done that.
Do you think at any time, if it goes south this next year, Barry comes down?
To the bench?
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't.
I don't think so. I think that falls under the that's too easy of an answer to do. Mm-hmm. And he's going – the thing about Barry is he wants to prove that he can be a good manager as well.
Good, good.
You know, he's at that point.
And stay where you are.
Real quick, 5724, about the coach, yes, he made the playoffs 2 years ago, and then he was given a better team and finished with the worst record the Preds have ever had. That was a sign of the time to change.
Ouch.
It's a look, it's fair.
Ouch.
But
Oh man. There's not been one positive. Thank you for keeping Brunette around. Oh man.
3155. Thanks, Big Joe. A lot of word salad BS. No real accountability with no real change to make it different. Just going to run it back. One of the worst seasons. Seems like a best idea. That's Jesse.
Good job, Jesse.
So we'll see what Hal Gill thinks about it. He did the draft show with Willie and I last night. We'll talk to Skillsy coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds are back at First Horizon Park, taking on Norfolk. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure on 94.9 The Fan. We say hello now to Hal Gill. Skillsy is on the line with us to talk about all things Predators. Hal, what's up?
Not much. Just, you know, just recovering from the little bit of whiplash that we got last night. But, hey, it's all right. It's okay.
The sun came up.
It's going to be a good pick, you know?
Exactly. You got a top five pick. The sun came up today. Everything is going to be just fine. So I want to start with the Andrew Brunette part of this. As Barry Trotz, you know, made it official yesterday, Andrew Brunette's going to be back as the head coach. And, you know, I think one of the thing that I hear the most from the fans is, well, he had all year to make changes and he didn't do that. And I have said that that is not entirely true because, you know, you were with this team all year. He made adjustments. So what adjustments can he continue to make to this system that everybody talks about that maybe he can make bigger adjustments in the offseason and training camp that he couldn't do in the regular season?
Well, I think it's tough. I think he has a system that, and we've seen it work, when it works, the Preds were really hard to play against. There's a lot of pressure on the puck, and they come as a five-man unit. You know, there's defense, there's centers, there's forwards, but really when they're playing it well, it's, you know, there's a lot of rotation, there's a lot of movement because they are on top of pucks and they stay on top of pucks. And so I think by not making changes, you're allowing everyone to get into what, you know, to get into the system. And I think there was a lot of talk about, you know, things weren't working as well as they wanted. And it was just a matter of time before it would click, right? Like, I mean, you look at an 0-5 start that really wasn't an 0-5 start. I thought that was a lot of things they did well. They hit a couple posts. They missed some nets. The scoring wasn't there, and they lost those games. But I think they were onto something. They looked like they were going to be a good team and going to play a hard game. They just weren't clicking. So I think you kind of ride it out, and you got to have some belief and some faith in your system, and it just didn't come around. And so now a year into it, you didn't make those changes. You bought into it. Well, you have a new year and a fresh start to kind of do everything and say, okay, it didn't work. So something has to change, and what is it going to be? And I think that's, you know, ultimately what they have to address in the offseason is, and starts in training camp. I didn't think the Preds had a great training camp, and a lot of unforeseen things. They missed a preseason game due to the weather and the storms, and all those little things kind of crept in. And so I think they have to address all of that and then move forward.
How much of having this season under their belts and, you know, now being a Nashville Predator for over a year is going to help guys like Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea?
I think it's going to help a lot. When you get traded, and every guy is different, when you get traded or you sign with a different team, there's, you know, you come in, you try to fit in, you try to, you know, figure out where you are. And I think the adversity that they went through last year is going to help them in the long run. And I hope it does, because when you go through those hard times, you kind of call each other out and you have those little fights in the locker room, and, you learn from those. And I think it's funny that every time someone talks about a team and they say, oh, this guy came out to the media about a fight he had or a disagreement he had, you know, the whole Marchessault thing was, you know, he said something and you know, it got out and it got legs. But that stuff happens all the time on winning teams. You know, like inside that locker room, you know, it's a sacred space, and I don't think it should be let out. But it happens all the time. I've been on winning teams, losing teams. There's disagreements, there's fights. That is going to happen. And so I think, you know, you go through all that, and then the next year you come back and you've been through those down times together, and you kind of learn about your teammates, you learn about your dynamic in the locker room. And now you come back, and I think there's going to be – well, I know there's going to be guys like O'Reilly, Stamkos, Forsberg, Shea, Marchessault. Those guys have won before. They know how to win. They know how to battle and compete. And I think there's going to be a little bit more openness when they get into the locker room next season. And they're going to demand more from each other. And I think that's what they need, and I think that's what we're going to see. There's going to be tweaks, of course, with everything, but – I think that standard is going to be a very different standard for what they expect out of this season.
Talking to Hal Gill on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Hal, what's one thing you would do different? One thing you would do different if when training camp starts this fall?
I think they need to get on the same page and quicker. I think they had some hard practices, and I think there were some guys that are going, okay, I'm just picking up the system. I'm going to take my time and figure it out. And I think that kind of, you know, three new guys that are veterans that are coming in with a rookie coming in, you're going, oh boy, I got to get this system. I got to figure it out. I got to go now. And I think there was a lot of veterans that were looking around going, okay, don't worry about it, guys. We're going to get through this. And I think this training camp needs to be, boys, we got embarrassed last year and we got to go. We're going to have some young guys in the lineup that are going to need to learn quick, but we're the veterans and we need to drive the bus. And I think that urgency in camp is going to be, it's going to be defining of what their season is going to be like, because I know there's a lot of pride. Roman Josi is going to get back in the lineup and say, it's unacceptable what happened last year. And he's going to call his teammates out if they're not on board. And I think guys are going to be on board a lot quicker. And I think you're going to see a team that's a lot hungrier as soon as game one comes around.
Would you be okay? You know, NFL teams used to do this all the time. They'd go away to camp for 2 weeks and be gone from everyone. Would you be okay if the Preds for 1 week just went somewhere, just them? And it wasn't about hockey. It was just about being together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it used to happen a lot more. I remember asking Laviolette about that, and he disagreed. I was on a team that with Philadelphia on his team that we went away and went to kind of a boot camp when I was in Philly, and you know, I'm crawling through a tunnel going, you know, like with, you know, guys shooting paintballs at me, and I'm going, what are we doing? This isn't hockey. This is ridiculous. But then, you know, you're in a tunnel with a teammate, and and you're laughing at him and he's laughing at you, and you create that bond. And it's a simple thing. And then you go have dinner and you have a couple laughs and you make fun of the coach for making you do all that stupid stuff. And then you turn around and you're bonded and you're on the same page. And you said it, like, not necessarily hockey, but it's you know, just a human bonding. And I think you need that. And then I talked to Laviolette and he said, yeah, you know, all that stuff, just stay in your bed, rest up, be ready to go. And I think there's something to be said for getting away. If I was coaching or a GM, I would 100% get my team to go somewhere to do something. And I think that's something that certainly every, you know, when you're looking at what do we want to do for training camp, you know, put that in the mix, because I think that means a lot. Even if it's 2 or 3 days, you know, a golf trip, or, you know, just to get things going and get on the same page. And they didn't have that last year. They had a lot of new guys coming in, and they had 9 out of 10 games at home. And, you know, you really didn't get away to be with the boys and get that bonding kicked off.
Hal, I don't think, and you know this really well, so I want to ask you this. I don't think we understand how tremendously difficult being a general manager is in the NHL. I mean, that's to me, I could not fathom doing that job.
I hate to say this, but I have a lot of teammates that you know, they were good-looking guys when they became a GM, and then the hair goes away or it goes gray, and they look – like, just think about, like, you know, as a coach, you have, you know, your 20 to 25 guys that you have to worry about, and you focus on that, and you go home, and you beat yourself up every night. Well, as a GM – like, there's no off days, you know, like Trotsky's on the phone, and okay, yeah, it's the off season. Well, he's got to meet with these guys. He's got to do all this stuff. Like, he's constantly getting after it. And I think it's exhausting. I don't think I'm a GM material, because I think you just can't turn off. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. And that's why, you know, some of the successful GMs are the ones that just keep going. You look at Lou Lamoriello, and we were talking about him. He's retired, and he's out, or we think he's retired. But then we said, well, what is he going to do now? Like, he's been doing this for a long time. He's been a GM forever. And now what does he do? I don't think he necessarily has a life. His life was being a GM. And, you know, talk to David Poyle. He's getting a chance to relax a little bit, and he wants to sit back and take it all in. But when hockey is your life and being a GM is your life, it's hard to go back to anything else.
Hal Gill is with us, Predators analyst. So with the 5th overall pick now, and they also have 2 other first rounders, Barry Trotz, you know, has some options potentially. You know, obviously you got to find a dance partner, but they could stick and pick at 5. Maybe he could attempt to move up. Maybe he moves back. Do you like, you know, I know we all wanted the number 1 pick or a top 3, but overall, do you like the position they're in with a top 5?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last night. I don't think there's, you know, there's a lot of times where you have, you know, the 1 or 2 pick is going to be like this generational player. You know, I don't think these guys are that. I think they're really good hockey players, but I don't think there's a huge drop off. So I'm not necessarily upset. You know, obviously you want to get the best player you can get. And so getting at the bottom is just kind of it just caps off the season. You know, it's just like, oh, you can't go further than 5. So yeah, I guess we got 5. So that's frustrating, but I think there's so many ways that Barry Trotz can play this. And I really think the offer sheet stands out to me is because free agency isn't a great year. It's going to be tough, and you're going to have to overpay to get the player that you're going to want. And so I think offer sheets are going to be thrown out with and using those draft picks to get a good player. I think there's going to be movement in the draft to try to maybe trade for someone that you like and use, because I think the Preds and I think there's a lot of people that disagree with me. I just don't think this is a team that can tank. I don't think you're going to do a rebuild with Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and UC Saros and Stamkos, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Shea. you just go up and down this lineup, and there's so many good players. And if you can complement and give them a little help with some of the younger guys coming up, I think it's going to hit in 1 or 2 years. And I believe that. And so I think, you know, taking another step back is going to be tough to do. I think you want to keep going. And I think there's a lot of weapons that Barry Trotz still has, and I think he's going to use them. I hope he uses them because, you know, it's not far off, in my opinion.
Right now, Mitch Marner's probably the number one UFA that would be out there. Is he somebody that you would pursue if you're Barry Trotz, or do you think they may look elsewhere? And, I mean, ultimately, he could be back in Toronto.
Yeah. Like, you look at him, Bennett, you know, these guys,
Tavares.
You're going to have to, you're going to have to overpay to get them. You know, like, I think we're talking about Marner. Like, how much do you think he's going to get? Like, you're looking at Rantanen and they got out $12 million. I don't know how you build a team and build a culture with a $12 million guy.
Yeah.
Unless they're McDavid, you know, Crosby, like these McKinnon, McCarr. Like, these guys are, you know, I don't see that guy out there. And I do love Marner. I think he's awesome. But I just don't know if I'm ready to overpay for that right now. And so I think that's why I say the offer sheet is better. You can get a guy that's maybe a $5 or $6 million guy that's younger, and you can kind of use that to build your core and be that gap between the veterans and the young guys. And I think that's where I would probably go, but you know, I'm not the GM. I'm not as smart as a GM. So we'll see. Trotsky's a lot smarter than I am.
Well, we'll have a lot of time to break it all down and talk about it. Hal, appreciate it as always. Good to see you yesterday and last night. It was a lot of fun doing the show with you. But enjoy the off season. It's officially here.
Yeah, we had a nice Cinco de Mayo, and I know you had a long day, and you battled through it. And so I appreciate you, pal.
Well,
you guys, enjoy the summer. There's a lot going on, but you know, there's a lot of good things that are going to happen. And I need you, the Smashville fan base, to believe me. There's a lot of good things going on, and it's going to come around. It's a tough year. We took a step back, but we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Amen to that. Thanks, Gilsey.
All right, you got it, pal. Cheers.
All right, Hal Gill joining us here on the program, and we did have a nice Cinco de Mayo. That is for sure,
buddies.
He's a good man. We'll react to some of the things that he had to say, including some of you have asked on the text line. You know, are there some free agent targets? We can kind of look at that coming up next at 10 o'clock. Though, what do we got?
A fun segment we're going to do this summer. God bless you, Bubba, on that.
Thank you for
there.
That save.
It's called What If. What if this would have happened? And we got a great What If at 10 o'clock, and we'll get all your responses. Chase and Dr. Crane don't know what it is. I'm tasked with coming up with the What If, but it'll be fun, but we need your reaction.
We'll do that at 10. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. That song just makes you feel better. I don't know what it is.
It's off one of the best albums of all time, man, that nobody talks about.
Because everybody talks about this song.
Yep. The album's called Play Deep, and it's just
the outfield.
Amazing. Yeah, it's great.
I have a tease for your What If, Gio. What if both of you had a mullet? I would love to see that.
I did it one time.
One, right?
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. My hair used to grow really long and curly, so I'd grow it up, and I'd actually, true story, would pin it on top of my bald spot. We did that when I was on Channel 2. Awful. It's absolutely awful. Then I saw a picture from behind one day. I was doing a story on the lake. Somebody got a picture of me, and I had this giant bald spot. And I said, I'm done. Shave my head off. Just shave it off. Don't do the comb over. Shave it off, man. Be powerful in who you are.
You didn't go for the fryer tuck. I'm proud of you.
No.
That's good.
Nope.
It's a good thing you did that.
Thank you very much.
I had something else I was going to say. So a couple of free agents – that I mean, I'm with Hal. Like, I like Mitch Marner as a player, but I wouldn't. They don't need to go after the guys that they got to pay, you know, $10+ million to.
No, gosh, no.
That's just not where this team is right now. I mean, you know, John Tavares is one that maybe you get because he's coming back down. He's 34, so his cap hit. It was on a 7-year deal, making $11 million per year. That's still too rich for me. But, you know, if you get him less, there's a guy that could help you at center. But again, you kind of have that, Ryan O'Reilly. So,
okay.
You know, I don't love that. You're not going to talk to Duchesne. You're probably not going to talk to Granlin. You know, they're going to be available. Nick Ehlers is, you know, out there. But, I mean, I think you got a lot of guys like that. So there's not a ton that you can really, not saying they're not going to, but there's not a ton that I love that are going to fit what they're trying to do here. I think ultimately the direction is building the young guys.
Yes. Didn't this go wrong last year? Did we not learn anything?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they need to do.
Yeah. I mean, you draft these guys, you put them in Milwaukee, give them a chance. Give them a chance. I mean, look at the guys that came, like Pecorine. I mean, you brought them up from Milwaukee. Bring these guys up. You
eighth round pick.
Yeah. Bring them up, man.
So it was funny. Last night we're on the show, and Hal looks at me and he goes, you know, because everybody's freaking out about picking fifth. He goes, who's the best player in franchise history? And I kind of like stopped and like I wasn't ready for the question. I go, oh, wait, Pecorine. Yeah. And Willie's like, he has a statue. Pecorine. He goes, when was he drafted? A round that doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
The eighth round.
Man, that's a great – we always talk about the Titans and that, the greatest player, all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great question.
I mean, something the Titans and Preds have in common, now different, you know, levels here, but Pecorine is the greatest player the Preds have ever had, drafted in the eighth round, doesn't exist anymore. Blaine Bishop is one of the best Titans, Oilers of all time. Drafted in the eighth round, a round that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you on that, man. Who is, real quick, the best Preds player drafted who succeeded elsewhere?
Best Preds player drafted that succeeded elsewhere? Kevin Fiala?
I don't know.
Maybe.
If you say so.
He's a first round pick. I mean, he's done well. I mean,
Suter?
Not.
You hate Suter, though.
I don't hate Suter. No, well, I mean, I get it. I just don't like how he handled it. That's a really good question, Joe. I mean, right now I'd probably say Fiala because he was a first round pick, and but he didn't blow it away. I mean, like he's not like a elite game changing player. He's a good player.
So I don't know. I mean,
I mean, Suter didn't have a. I mean, Suter's still playing. He just got beat by – just got knocked out of the playoffs, but he was with St. Louis. So we'll see if he comes back for another year.
Okay.
But there you go. Look at it's that. An interesting one. Coming up next, what if?
What if?
And you will set this up.
Gotcha.
When we return. You can sign up now for the 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor presented by Gary Force Acura at the Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.